All right, let's have all the choir come out. Get in the choir. We need the ensemble also to kind of get up in here first. Get ready to sing first. So come on, choir and ensemble. We'll get ready to start service.
well. They're ready to sing. I hope you are. Number 55. Number 55, your hymnal. Let's stand and sing At the Cross. Number 55. All right, join us as we sing.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he be both and Savior man, for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I worked all night, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. Was it for Christ that I had loved me from a mother grief? Amazing pity, grace, for those that love beyond degree. At the cross, where I was.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing. Good to see you here on the Lord's Day, back to school Sunday. Unfortunately, young folks, it's that time to go back to school. Some will be starting school for the first time, so it's exciting, but they'll get over that too, probably. No, we want all the young folks to be excited about school. I know the parents. How many parents are excited? Say amen. Yeah, okay. We're glad that you're able to be here. Good to have the visitors with us. We'll recognize them in just a few minutes. But right now, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the service. When we're through praying, you and the audience can be seated and the ensemble will sing one for you. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the service. Brother John Tindall, you lead us in prayer, please.
But Christ is met here.
Amen. Are you glad for mercy? And we're singing about mercy and grace today. You'll notice kind of a theme throughout. So if you haven't experienced that, I hope you will before the end of the service. Thank you, ensemble and choir. We've got some visitors this morning. Let's stand. We're going to greet each other while the choir comes down.
Thank you so much, choir, for that good singing this morning, and ensemble, thank you, and I'm glad mercy stepped in. We all deserve justice today. If we got what we deserved, we'd all go to hell, and we deserve it 100%, but I'm glad mercy stepped in. Amen. And I'm thankful for that today. Well, we're glad to have you in the service today, and good to have some visitors here with us. Good to have Mr. and Ms. Coleman. These folks, Brother Steve and Brother, we were out knocking on doors yesterday out in Miss Bobby's neighborhood back behind where she lives, and Brother Steve, Brother John met these folks knocking on doors and invited them to church, and they're here, and we're glad to have you folks. And then somebody told me Miss Coleman manages the Oliver Gospel Mission thrift store up here, I guess on Two Notch, is that right? So connected with Oliver Gospel Mission, and we love that place, I'm telling you. We love the mission, been there for over 100 years, and we appreciate that, and good to have these folks here with us today. God bless you. And let's see, Ms. White. Good to see Ms. White here. Good to see you. I didn't see you come in, but good to see you here. And good to have Ms. Gonzalez and Amy back with us again. So we're glad that you're here with us today. And Ty's here. Good to see Ty back with us. And just a couple of things quickly. I'll mention, let Brother Brian come, and then we'll have another song. Continue to pray for Sonny Branham as he's at home. Shirley Hughes with her cancer. Brother Johnny Gardner came home. Had another surgery. They took out part of his prostate, but that seems to have fixed the problem. And so now he's at home recovering. And so you pray for Brother Johnny. Of course, he's our missionary to the state legislature on abortion. And John has done a great job all of these many years working with those folks there. And then Brother Tim's brother-in-law, Joe Blackwell, and Judy's aunt, Betty Spence. She is much better, so we're thankful for that answered prayer there. And so please continue to pray for these folks also. Okay, Brian, you got anything? Come on.
All right, glad to see you at Anchor Baptist Church this morning. This week we have one event coming up, and that's the Rusty Anchors meeting at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning here at the church. So all of our treasured Rusty Anchors saints, make your way here. Well, I heard most of them were treasured. Some of them were iffy. But some of them were rusty than treasured. But I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. 10 o'clock here at the church on Tuesday morning. You'll have a great time in the Lord here. I know you always, there's always a lot of cutting up and laughing, I know, with some of these characters. So you folks remember that. Of course, tonight we'll be here at 5:30, of course, and we're going to have ensemble practice at 4:30 and choir practice at 4:45, and then the evening service at 5:30, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We had our Sewing Saturday this past Saturday, and we had five men to go and knocked on 108 doors. This was our final count. So that was a nice time out in serving the community in that way. And we'll do that again 2 weeks from yesterday, so it won't be this coming Saturday, but the one after that. So we'll give you more details on that to come. Now, I think that's it for the announcements. I'd like to make a personal recruiting pitch. I hadn't done this in a long time, but we've had some new members lately and whatnot, and maybe the Lord's been speaking to you about this. But I am responsible for scheduling the special singing, this every special song we do here. I'm the one that puts that on the screen and trying to kind of schedule that. So I'm going to put a recruiting pitch out there. If you are not currently in my little rotation, so to speak, to be up there to sing, I wish you'd see me after the service and tell me you'd like to sing something. We don't have auditions. We don't have tryouts. You don't have to impress us. But we're looking for people who want to help us worship the Lord through song, through a special song. Really, for the members, the only real requirement we have is that you be a faithful member, because I can't put you on the screen on the schedule if I don't know if you're going to be here or not. So that's really the only requirement you have. So if you'd be willing to do that, you come. You don't have to raise your hand. You come see me after the service, and we'll work with you. We have wonderful musicians here that can play anything you want to sing, just about. Okay, I'm not making it. We'll do our very best. We will work with you and make you sound just as good as you can possibly sound. And I know we'll get a blessing if you would sing for us. All right, but that's all I got.
Last Sunday night, before we sing our next song, last Sunday night, almost on a dare, somebody said, "Matt, why don't you sing 'It Is Well With My Soul'?" Sitting around eating sandwiches. And so I want you to hear what happened.
Am I doing acapella? All right.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Join me now.
It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Number 355.
just off the cuff. Appreciate it. Number 355, let's stand and sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Number 355. Play that again, Steve. Give him a chance. Sing the first and last stanzas. Sing out now. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, like a fountain of infinite mercy, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, wider than the purple sky, like a fountain of infinite mercy, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Good singing. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, we don't have a program here. We don't go by a schedule. We do however the Lord leads. Here's what I'm going to do. I want the ushers to come on. While they're coming, Matt, hit your mic. I want you to finish that song. What'd you do, win a bet? Oh, okay. I thought Judah said, I'll bet you that a preacher's going to make you sing the rest of that song, and he's paying off over there. I thought, my God. I mean, if you're going to do that, don't do it in the auditorium. Wait till you get out in the parking lot. My gracious. All right. And I believe the Masculiers are singing a little bit too. We did, it's back to school Sunday. Like I said, we don't. But for those of you that don't know that song, it is what was written by a man named Horatio Spafford. And he was a businessman in New England back in the 1800s whose family, they decided to take a trip to England by ship. Well, the day they were to leave, he got a business call. He had to stay for a few more days, so he sent his wife and children, his daughters, on to England. About halfway there, the boat sank, and his wife and daughters drowned. Well, when the word got back to him, of course, they were all Christians, all born-again believers, got back to him. He got on the ship a few days later, went out in going to where they were headed. When they got to about the spot where the boat went down, he asked the captain of the ship to stop right there, and he did, as best they could tell. And while he was on that ship, he wrote that song. It really was a poem. It was more of an ode to his family. Then a man named Philip Bliss actually put the music to it. And that's what he wrote. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever the thought thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And so, what a great song, great testimony. And so I want Matt to sing maybe the second and last verse of that, if you don't mind, Matt. And while they take up the offering, I appreciate that. But let's pray. Father, we love you. And I'm glad, Father, I can say, it is well with my soul. Father, I'm glad that, 1976, August the 26th, 1976, As a 17-year-old teenage boy, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I can say, since then, it has been well with my soul. Not always been perfect Christian. In fact, never perfect, but far from even decent. Lord, I've failed you so many times, but I'm glad that God has never failed me. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross for my sins so that I wouldn't have to go to hell. And I can say it is well with my soul. So, Father, bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. Bless Brother Matt as he sings the rest of the song for us. Speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's somebody here lost without Christ, help them to understand before they go down for the last time to go to a devil's hell. May they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior so they can, too, go home and say, it is well with my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Matthew, come on.
Feel free to sing with me if you know the words. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Matt. Bless your heart. Thank you, man. Thank God. All my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Wonderful. You pray for the Masculier family.
This truth can be found, a promise to stand on when darkness abounds. Right never loses, and wrong never wins, and grace will always be greater than sin. Grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has proven it time and
choices you've made. Sin has a price tag, so often you've paid. But Jesus is waiting, new hope is in Him. Grace will always be greater.
Somebody had to help me get up. Not yet. Yeah. But don't push me down. Jonathan, you can sit on the chair. Jonathan's big like I am, so he'll sit in the chair and be all right. All right. Come on, Nico. You want to come up here? He's kind of shy. That's all right. He'll get over it. Well, it's school time. Y'all ready to go back to school? How come I don't believe that? Are you ready to go back to school? You ready to go back to school? The rest of you, no? Well, okay. Now, Jonathan, you'll be what, 10th grade, 9th grade? 11th grade. All right, he's a junior in high school. All right. Well, the reason I wanted to talk with you just a minute is because being that you're going back to school, you got to be ready, right? That's one reason why we have back to school Sunday. Now, I know, like, Jonathan, yeah, there's Lucy. I didn't know Lucy. Hey, Lucy, sit down here with me, Lucy. See, we got a thing worked out. She's Lucy, and of course my name's Rick. So she calls me Ricky, and I say, Lucy, I love Lucy. Anyway, what's your favorite subject in school? Math? Pretty good. All right. Who else? What's your favorite subject in school? Lunch. my kind of man right there. Amen. He's on the dean's list when it comes to lunch. Well, here's the thing. When you start back to school, you know that your parents and your grandparents want you to do good in school, right? What's the best thing you can do in school is to bring home a good report card, right? Yeah. I remember bringing home those report cards, and for the most part, I was glad to bring them home. Sometimes, not too good, but most of the time, it's pretty good. And so I wasn't worried when I got home that Mom and Dad would be fussing at me. In fact, they would say, good job. Now, I know nowadays, they didn't do this when I was in school where they give you money for good grades. We just got to eat and sleep in the house if we got good grades. But you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? But anyway, well, the one thing I want you to know most of all is that God wants you to do good in school. God wants you to do well, not just do well in your studies, but to do well in your deportment. You know, the one thing my mother always looked at first, I could have straight A's on my report card, but if I got a 3 or a 4 in citizenship, all them good grades didn't mean a thing. And so it's important not only that you do well in school getting good grades, but it's more important probably that you be good citizens, that you be good students. And because you're Christians, you ought to be good Christians while you're in school. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." In other words, and I know it says men, but ladies, young ladies, as you learn in school, not only are you going to learn your ABCs and how to add, subtract, and all that good stuff, but more than that, you're going to learn how to be a good Christian and to be a good counselor. You realize that maybe not so much for the younger ones maybe yet, but then again, you never know these days. While you're in school, there will be students, your fellow students, who will be watching you all to see how you do. Not only, and not so much to see how your grades are, but see what kind of a person you're going to be. And so that's important that you not just learn your ABCs, but learn what it is to be a good Christian. All right, in Colossians chapter 3, this was a verse that I learned. You're back? Oh, she brought her pocketbook. All right, that's good. I learned this when I was in high school. I had the privilege to go to Christian school, so we went to camp. In fact, the year that I got saved, we were at camp the week before school started, my senior year in high school. And this was the camp verse, I guess, if you want to call it that. And I've never forgotten it. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." In other words, anything you do, you give it all you got. And remember, you're not doing it for anyone. You're doing it for the Lord. Okay? Now, sure, you want mom and dad to be happy. Yeah, that's true. But more than that, you want Jesus to be happy. You want God to be pleased. And you know what God can do? If you'll learn to be good citizens in school, that means obey authority. Don't fall into this with this crowd that wants to, you know, disrespect the teacher and wants to, you know, pitch a fit and act up and carry on because they don't know any better. You all, being Christians, should know better than that, huh? And so you always obey authority. Now, if at any point, you know, mom and dad, sometimes authority's not always right. It just happens that way. But authority should always be honored first, okay? And if it's not right, then God will take care of it, and it'll be taken care of without you having to ruin your testimony. So be good, and be good to the other students. But be careful. Be very careful who you hang around with. Be careful what they want to do. You make sure if God didn't want you to do that, then you don't do that. Even if it means not being in the crowd or not having friends. And now I know, for example, that Haley goes to Christian school. When I went to Christian school, I just assumed, and some of you are homeschooled, so it makes it a little bit easier, I expect. You better obey authority, huh, Jake? Since it's your mama, huh? That's right. You better obey authority. But when I went to Christian school, I just thought that all the kids there were Christians and going to love the Lord and serve God. And I found out pretty quickly. Yes, ma'am. Anyway, I found out quickly that they didn't all love Jesus like they said they should and said they did. And so I had to even be careful in Christian school who I hung around with, who I palled with, and who I listened to. You be careful when somebody tells you something to do. And they may say something like this, nobody will know, and it's not, you know, it's not that big a deal. But if the Lord tells you in your heart that it is a big deal, then you don't do it. Don't listen. Don't pay attention. Be the one in school to say, "I love Jesus, and I'm not going to do whatever it is you want me to do." And what you do, whether it's your math or your English or your spelling or lunch or recess, that was my favorite class, recess. Jenny's looking at me like, "Really? That's a class?" It was for me. We learned whatsoever we did, whatever you do, you give it all you got. Don't cheat. Don't, you know, when you get home, do your home. Don't, you know, do 5 minutes and then wait till the next morning on the way to school in the car and try to finish it. That's not giving it your best, is it? Get it done. Do it right so that when you do go to school, when you're in, and the teacher talks with you, they know that you're doing your best and that you're being a good student and a good Christian, okay? And so, and the rest of the service today is going to be, I'm going to really be talking more to your parents and grandparents. But I want you to understand, too, that God wants you to give it your best. Whether you're an 11th grader, you're going to the 10th grade, right? You're going into what, 7th grade, and then all the, what grade you, 7th, 3rd, 2nd, 5th. Lucy, what grade are you going in college? All right. Well, there you go. Okay. So whatever you do, whatever, and try to learn that verse. It's Colossians 3:23. It's not a long verse, but try to memorize it so that you can quote it. When you go to school, when you start the school day, say to yourself, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Okay? All right. Thank you, guys. Go back to your seat. Thank you. Can you get up all right? Yeah, they all did. Now, what am I going? I guess I'll preach from here. No, I'm sorry. That's all right, McKenna. Thank you, sweetheart. Always wanted to preach sitting down. All right. Well, we just love our kids around here so much. And like I said, you know, everybody doesn't have the what I consider the great opportunity to go to Christian school like many. Many still have to go to public school, and that's all right. Public schools need Christian kids in them, too. And so they need to have a testimony and a witness. And then some are homeschooled. And so we had the privilege of homeschooling our two children for a while till it got to where they were needing to learn more than we could teach them. What are you doing, Steve? Am I on? Am I on, John? Yeah, I'm on. Thank you, Brother Steve. I thought he was pointing at his hearing aid, but he don't wear them. So thank you, brother. All right. So I tell you what let's do. I want us to turn our Bibles real quickly this morning to the book of Psalms 127, the 127th Psalm this morning. And we'll try not to keep you too long, but at the end of the service, we're going to have the kids come up and we're going to give them a little box of school supplies. We do this every year, and we've got plenty. So, you know, if the children are going to school, if they're K-4 and above, if they're going to school, then we want them to have a little box here that's got all kinds of good things in it for them for school. All right, Psalm 127 is page 663. If you have a Schofield Bible, there are two verses I want us to read together. So let's stand, please, in honor to the Word of God, if you're able to stand. And we'll just read two verses and we'll get into the message. Psalm 127, verse number 1. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And look at verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Father, bless the word of God to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach just a few minutes on the Ten Commandments for back to school. The Ten Commandments for back to school. Now, we all know about the Ten Commandments that Moses wrote in the Word of God, but I want to just really speak. I'm speaking to all of us here. You say, well, my kids are grown and married, but still, we want to be here at the church. Now, Mom and Dad, you understand that you are the main responsibility for raising your children. Grandma and Grandpa, you have a hand in that, although a diminished hand, although some grandparents want to go a little too far, but that's between you and the parents, all right? But the idea is that you have been down this road already, and so you can be a major help and a major encouragement to your grandchildren while they're in school. There was a teacher who had some first-time K-5 students. I can just picture Lucy being this student. But the teacher called on one of the little fellas, and he had never been to school before. He stood up, and she said, now, Johnny, are you animal, mineral, or vegetable? Well, he scratched his head for a second. He said, "Teacher, I'm a vegetable." Well, she kind of looked at him puzzlingly. That's all, folks. And said, "Why do you think you're a vegetable?" He said, "Because I heard my mama tell me the other day I'm a human being." It's like a wave. It's making its way to the back of the church. It'll hit you in a minute. A little girl in third grade had a little friend, asked the little boyfriend, Johnny, said, "Johnny, too bad you finished the test or flunked the test. How far were you from the right answers?" And he looked at her and said, "About two seats." Now you know why I don't do this very often. One day the class, little elementary school class, is doing the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. One little boy had his right hand over the left side of his backside. The teacher asked him, "Why is your hand over your backside? Your heart's in your chest." The boy answered, "No, ma'am." She said, "What makes you think your heart is back there?" And he replied, "When I go to Mama's house, she picks me up, pats me on the backside and says, 'God bless him.'" I better stick to my day job. All right, well, anyhow. The Ten Commandments of back to school. I messed up the last one. It's supposed to say, "Bless your heart." That's why I don't do this for a living. God knew what he was doing when he called me to preach, because it's not the only thing I can do. All right, let's look at these quickly. As we see in the text in Psalm 127, the Bible, now of course this text technically speaking about building not only the church, but it could be your home, and so the principle applies in your career, in whatever you do. And the young people, the students, the same way. Except the Lord, build the house. Except the Lord be involved in whatever it is you're doing. If you're building a home as a family, if you're building a career as someone in a job field, if you are building a church, students, if you're building your testimony and reputation, and I want these young people to understand that word, that your reputation, now we call it testimony, same thing. That is, you want to have a good reputation. When people think of you, when the fellow students think about you, when some of those very students want to somehow get someone involved in something that's probably not right, you want them to think about you first and say, you know, they probably won't want to do this because they just don't ever. Now, they may, through peer pressure, try to get you to acquiesce or give in and do something that you know you shouldn't do. Parents, we are all tempted that way. The Bible said we're all tempted every single day. Jesus was tempted. And so Satan wants to destroy the house, whether it's the church house, your home, your family, your career, students, your reputation, your testimony. And this goes for all of us, adults too. The one thing that you have that you control is your testimony. And what you do with it's going to be a big decision on how other people respond to the Lord in your life by your testimony. And so except the Lord build it. It says they labor in vain that build it. I want to say, yes, it's good to get good grades and you want to do your very best and excel. In spite of what you may hear in the politics of it, I still think it's a good thing to do, to excel, to get better, to do the best you can, not to settle for just mediocre. You know, a C, if that's the best you can do, that's one thing. But if you can do better than that and you just settle for that, then you're not doing hardly as unto the Lord. You're not doing what the Scripture says. And by the way, mom and dad, same thing with us around the house or when we're leading, when we're raising our children. Do not just give your kids over to somebody else to raise. If you do that, then you're settling for a C. And you're going to find out that that's not the best you can do. You're going to find out that there's going to be failure in your life somewhere down the line. And so I want to look just quickly, and I'm going to give you these. I've thought about this for a while. about the Ten Commandments of back to school. Let me give you the first commandment. Thou shalt not depend upon the school for moral and spiritual teaching. Now, you got to send them. They're going to be there for several hours a day. But do not let the school and the school system raise your children. That's not the way God intended. Deuteronomy, and I wrote these down for time's sake because we got other things to do at the end of the service. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, listen to what it says in verse 6 and 7 and verse 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them, listen, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Sounds to me like what God is saying, talk about it 24/7. Now, I know you can't do it when, you know, I understand that, but you get the idea here, and that is, keep it fresh in their minds constantly. Whatever the school system, if they're teaching them anything other than the actual subjects, if they go to teaching their opinions and trying to dissuade and persuade your children to go in directions of thinking that are not biblical, then when they get home, you better get that junk out and put the good stuff in. Now, you know that's right. You know that's right. Verse 9 says this in Deuteronomy 6, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. In other words, let them see God in you. Let them hear about God from you. Everything they do when they're at home ought to not coincide with what they're being taught in the public school system. Now, you know, I used to think elementary kids, this is more for the middle school or junior high and high school, but you know what? Now even the littlest ones are starting to be told and taught things. That, listen, they know things in the third grade that I didn't know when I was in college. I'm talking about worldly kind of stuff. I'm telling you. I mean, that's how far this has gone, where now teaching subject and subject material is not the issue. They don't want to teach math and reading and science. They want to teach opinion. And they want to teach disrespect. And they want to teach going against truth. And listen, mom and dad, if you don't get a hold of that thing right away, and don't let the school system, and I'm not saying that every teacher in every school are a bunch of devils. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that. But on the whole, if you were to put that thing together, the average would be such that a lot of what your kids are being told, if you don't get them home and replace it with the right kind of thing, and enhance and encourage the things that are being taught at school that are right. Because I remember when I was in school, we still said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. We still went out at the flagpole every Friday morning, and the principal led us in prayer around the flagpole. I remember those days. You know, and by the way, we didn't have school shootings back then. I didn't say there wasn't evil. Of course, there's the man's heart is evil and desperately wicked. But I never heard any of them things before. But now it's commonplace. You know why? Because the morals and the spiritual, the lack of spiritual things in a man's or woman's heart that's not saved is such that it will mislead your children and grandchildren into things that someday you'll look back and say, oh, I wish. You'll be at the altar weeping over your children and oh, I wish I'd have taught them better. Don't wait until you have to beg God to help them. Help them right now. Amen? You with me now? You understand where we're going here. So thou shalt not depend on the school for moral and spiritual teaching. And I even wrote in parentheses, even Christian school. Because all Christian, everything that says it's Christian, not always Christian. Amen. All right, well, what about, what's the second commandment? Thou shalt not compare your child's progress with other children's progress. You know, all kids are different. Now, I think they still should. And by the way, and I was a school teacher. My wife taught school for many years. I know that every student's not the same and every teacher's not the same. But I think when you have a class of 20 or 25 students and none of them are getting it, then it's a pretty good idea that it's not just their fault. Amen. But again, don't let your children and kids don't use, the teacher's not teaching me right. If you're not giving your best, if you're not doing your homework, if you're not studying, and by the way, I never bring mine in, but this is not studying. Come on now. That's not studying. That's playing. And nothing wrong with playing at its point, but studying, giving your best to whatever it is you're doing at that time is what means something. But parents, if your children are not, the upper 2% of the class, don't embarrass them. Don't treat them like they're not trying. Now, you know if they're trying or not. We're living in an age where everybody gets a trophy. Doesn't matter if you win, lose, or draw, you get a trophy. Well, I don't think that's the way it should be. Now, I know I'm 59 years old. I am archaic. I am antique. Well, that's all right. Antiques are worth more. That's what I tell Judy every morning. But listen to me, just because they don't match the level of some other child, even a brother or sister, do not put them down. Amen? Now this may not be evangelistic preaching. I'm just trying to talk to you a little bit today. Now, some of you that said, I don't have children and my kids are grown like me, this doesn't have anything to do with me, but it does. Because you may have the opportunity in your circle to be able to encourage others who may be falling in the same trap. What's the third commandment of back to school? The third one is, thou shalt teach them to do their best. Teach them. By the way, you know how you do that? By them watching you. Do your best. Whatever it is. Hey, if you think it's okay to consistently go to work late, you are teaching them that they don't have to do their best. Hello? If you're consistently not, and I know this is liable to get me hung in effigy in these days, but mom, listen, if you're teaching your daughters that taking care of the house, I know, most of you ladies work, and so don't worry, dad's next. But if you consistently teach your daughters that doing things that are things that women ought to be able to do. That's right, because one day they're going to be a wife, Lord willing. And so if you teach them that they don't have, not keeping the house clean and not cooking the meals and, going out to McDonald's every night, you know what you're doing? You're teaching them that they don't have to do their best. Dad, if you don't teach your boys how to work and how to respect and be respectful to mom, amen. I'm telling you, mom and dad, you young people, you listen, and if you date someone, you watch how they treat their mother and dad, because that's how they're going to treat you. Boy, this is great preaching, eh? I'm surprised y'all are not full already. Number four, thou shalt be aware of the content being taught your children. Mom and dad, you better pay attention to the books they're reading. I mean, it's amazing the books now that are being taken out of public school libraries that are good books. But because they have a spiritual slant, in many cases, not always, they're being removed. And then they're being replaced with stuff that teaches humanism and secularism and atheism. And now we have same gender and same this and same that. I'm telling you, mom and dad, you better be aware of what your children are learning. Number five, and I mentioned this to the young people, and I'll tell you, having been a teacher, having been a pastor, having been worked with youth, I've been around, this is by far the number one problem I've had. Here it is. Thou shalt support authority over the children, unless there's a real reason to the contrary. I've had more trouble. I'm talking about in church, and I taught in Christian school. I had more trouble. Judy will tell you this too. We've had more trouble with the parents of Christian school students because we had to discipline them because of the way they acted. We took a group of seniors to Washington, D.C., and they destroyed the hotel. This is a Christian school. We didn't know it till we were almost home and we got a phone call from the hotel in College Park, Maryland. It was going to cost thousands of dollars to fix that room. And then they called us and said, "What have you done?" Well, really, they called Judy. I was driving. And Judy got the call or the text and she hung up the phone. I thought she was going to eat that van. And she turned around to those kids and, buddy, she let them have it. We got back. We expected the parents to say, "You know what, our kids did the damage, so we'll..." You know what they did? They said, "You should have watched them better." Yeah. My little Johnny wouldn't have done that. We spent a week with little Johnny in Washington. We wanted to take him to the mall. They wanted to go to the shopping mall. They tried their best every time we got on the metro to jump in and then jump off while we were still on it, going down the tracks and then stand there waving at us by. And then God only knows what they were doing. I'm talking about Christian school kids. Miss Gonzalez, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, she teaches in one. Now, I'm not, you know, thank God they're not all that way. And most of them, I think, or hope, I pray, have grown out of it. But I'm just saying, support authority. Parents, support authority. We need to quit letting the patients run the asylum. Glory to God, preacher. That's wonderful. I'm going to get it on tape so I can play it back every once in a while. Well, since you are now, I'll give you number 6. Thou shalt laugh often. Good to laugh. Hey, spend time with your kids and have a good time with them. Have a good time with them in their school activities. I didn't do fishing and hunting. I wasn't that kind of a sportsman. My dad drove a truck. He's gone all the time. We lived in Detroit. There wasn't too many deer to shoot. And the fish were in the Rouge River, and it was so polluted if you did catch one, it had 4 heads. And so we didn't fool with it. And so we didn't do any of that stuff. I played ball, baseball, basketball. If it had a ball or a puck or if it had tiddlywinks, man, I was in it. And then I went to school and got involved in school sports. And the one thing that I regret, and I think I understand, I do not hold it against my parents, but to my knowledge, they never came to see me play a ball game. Now, the Christian school I went to was about 45 miles from my house one way, and so a lot of times it was at night, and you know, so I don't hold it against. I surely don't hold it against them at all for that. But there were times, though, I remember playing softball at church. You know, we had a ball team. My dad was good at that, and he took me out in the field one time, taught me how to hit, and hit all fields. And I mean, and so he was actually a coach, and so we were there together. I loved that. I loved that. You know, I was playing ball, and I was doing. I'd hear him say, "Now wait for it, wait." You know, he's coaching me, Andrew. That's why, you know, Andrew's over there going, "Yeah, I know all about." Because Andrew played basketball, I'd be in the stands. I'm coaching him like I'm the only one there. And he's looking at me like, "Dad, shut up," you know. And the coach of his team is looking at me saying, "Shut up." And, you know, half the other team saying, "Shut up." And, I mean, you know, that's my DNA, I guess. I don't know. But it wasn't because I was trying to be overbearing. It's because I wanted my son to succeed. And when he did, I liked it. When he didn't, I didn't. That doesn't make me bad, does it? But here's the problem. If I didn't allow myself the opportunity to be involved with him, and Bethany played volleyball when she was in school. She's really good. And I think she's the shortest one on the team. And so that net was kind of high up there. And boy, she comes and said, "Dad, do you see me spike that ball?" That's how far she jumped off the floor. And I'd say, "Come on, Beth." She said, "Dad, you didn't see me spike that ball." I said, "Come on, Beth." "No, I did." I said, "I saw you. You jumped about that high. You spiked it under the net." Amen. So she was what they call a setter. Yeah, she set it up for, and Brittany played volleyball. Brittany played everything too. Now, Brittany was good. I didn't have to coach her because she's already good. But anyway, the point is, you get involved. You got to be careful how much. Amen. But it's still good to get involved with your children and laugh with them sometimes. Have some fun. Don't make it a drudgery to go home. Don't make it so that they want to go to school to get away from you. Number 7, I'm almost through, hang on. Number 7, thou shalt know who your kids are hanging around with. The Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible said evil communication corrupts good manners. You better be careful who your children hang around with, because what you teach them at home can be ripped to shreds in 5 days at school. So that's why you got to stay on it all the time. Are you all with me today? Now, you probably think, some of you thinking, this don't mean a thing to me. Well, maybe it ought to. Maybe it needs to. I don't know. And I think sometimes when grandchildren come along, grandma and grandpa, I think it gives us the opportunity to kind of make up for where we messed up. Second chance, as it were. Number 8. Here you go. Thou shalt challenge children with maturity. But expect children to be children. Challenge them with maturity. Challenge them to grow up. But now listen, Dad. When you're better at PlayStation than your kids are, and they can't play with it because you're too busy playing with it, you're not challenging them to maturity, are you? You know what Paul said? When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I did as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I didn't say you shouldn't do that, those things, you know, and enjoy it. But not to the point where your kids don't see any maturity in you. Amen? Yeah, that's right. Number 9. Thou shalt perform the over principle. I first wrote down thou shalt not, and then I thought, no, this needs to be a thou shalt. What do you mean by the over principle? Mom and Dad, I think it is your absolute biblical responsibility to overprotect your children. To be over strict with them. Now, that'll rub the family the wrong way. Judy and I know about that. We were, and I heard somebody say this one, and it's the truth, and I've never forgotten it. Here's what they said. They said it's a lot better to be too strict and let off a little than to let way off and then try to go back and be strict later. And boy, that's the truth. That is the absolute truth. And so when someone says, you are way too strict on your children, but your kids aren't in jail or smoking dope, Or cursing like a sailor in the third grade. Come on now. I mean, I had family members of mine who knew, who were Christians and knew we were Christians, say, you are being way too hard on your children. Thank God both of them sitting right here. Both of them married to good, godly people. Both of them serving the Lord here as best they can. Hey, I'd say it paid. And I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on the Lord. Judy and I know we didn't do a good job, could have done a way better job, but thank God what we did try to do, God has honored. The one thing you don't want to do, though, is over-liberate. My parents, my mother mostly, my parents would have never, when I was 13 years old, they would never even consider driving me to the mall and dropping me off. I wouldn't even have done it. And I wanted to. Don't assume, don't let your children talk you into thinking that they're more mature than you are. And that you're just old-fashioned. And you don't know what you're talking. Hey, and it's the 21st century, blah, 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 blah. Do it right. If it bothers the whole crowd, do it right. And give God His place in their life. And then number 10, the 10th commandment. Thou shalt maintain a home of acceptance and encouragement. Let me qualify though. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, let me read this to you if I can find it here. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. There we go. And most of you know this verse by heart already. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yeah, but preacher, I know a lot of parents who've taught their children to do right and they decided to do wrong. I didn't say that it would be a perfect solution. The word depart there means they won't forget it. Me and both of my brothers grew up the same house. Went to the same church. Went to the same school. I mean, we basically had everything the same, even though I was older. But we had the same. In fact, they actually had more time with a Christian father than I had. My dad didn't get saved until I was 12. My brothers were 8 and 10, or something like 9 and 10. Anyway, so they had even more time at home with a Christian father than I had. And yet, my youngest brother just got saved about 3 or 4 months ago. Doing great, by the way. And serving God. His wife got saved. Now they're serving the Lord. My middle brother has since said that he's gotten right with God. I haven't talked to him much. I guess the proof's in the pudding, you know. But here's one brother who was lost and admitted to it. Grew up the same house I did. But he never, not until he was 50 plus, not until he was 57 years old or 56 years old did he accept Christ as his Savior. All I'm saying, and by the way, you know what? God is attention. He would hear things and see things in the news and hear preaching on occasion. He's been to our church before and he'd hear it. And you know what he said? He said, I remembered what Dad used to say. Now, here's what he used to say. I'm never going to be like my dad. I can't wait to get out of the house. Because my dad, when he got saved, he was a saved Marine. I mean, the Marine part was bad enough. Now he's saved. Now you talk about strict. I'm telling you. And Jeff said, I'm getting out of there. I'm never going to be like him. I can't wait to get away from there. And buddy, and when he turned 19, he's gone. In fact, he followed me down here. I was already living in North Carolina then. He came down. He's been here ever since. But then he got saved. And now he's saying things like, Dad was right. Mom was right. Before you get saved, you don't want to admit that Mom's right. But boy, when you get saved, all of a sudden Mom's right. Dad was right. Well, we need to learn to not accept their sin. That's not what I'm saying. The word tolerance is being murdered today. Because tolerance to some doesn't mean the same to others. To some, tolerance means you got to believe like I do. And to others, it is you got to believe like I do. And one of those things is if you're going to be tolerant and accepting in this society, then you have to just agree with and accept sin. God does not teach that. The Bible does not teach that. And you should not teach your children that. I didn't say, hold it. Do not go out of here and say the preacher said that. That doesn't mean you have the right to be mean to folks and use vulgar language and terminology. No. And that you go out looking to cause trouble because it's sin. But when you're presented with it, you stand up for what you believe. And not be ashamed to say, God said, that's wrong. God said, I can't do that. God said, I can't even accept that. Doesn't mean I have to be hateful and ugly and physically violent. But if God said to do it or not do it, that should be all that matters in your life. And mom and dad, that's what you ought to teach your children. If God said it, do or don't, that's what you do or don't. Amen? All right. Children learn what they live and live what they learn. If children live, let me give you these. I'm finished. We're going to pray around the altar with the kids. Children live with criticism. They learn to condemn. Children live with hostility. They learn to fight. If they live with ridicule, they learn to be depressed. I've never seen little kids having to be put on antidepressive medicine like these days. When we got depressed, my mother said, go out in the yard. Yeah, go out and catch a snake or a frog or, you know, play ball or something. All of a sudden, you wasn't depressed no more. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. When they live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. When they live with praise, they learn to appreciate. When they live with encouragement, they learn to be confident. When they live with fairness, they learn justice. When they live with approval, they learn to like themselves. We could clear out a lot of child psychologists' offices if mom and dad would just be approving of their children and not leave it to somebody else who could care less. And if children live with acceptance, they learn the principle of friendship. There you go. Tonight I'll be back on stewardship. But we always want our children to know that we love them, we support them. We as a church will do anything we can to help them. But always remember this, it is not our job to raise your children. That's your job. We want to help. We want to give them all the spiritual backing and give you, mom and dad, and grandma and grandpa, all the spiritual backing we can, prayer and teaching and preaching and singing and fellowship and friendship and all the things that go with a good church family. But God never told us to raise your children. That's your job. But we're glad to be part of it, and this is one way we do it. So what I'd like to do right now, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. And I want the school kids to come get around the altar here. Come on, guys. If you're in school, going to school, I want you to come get around the altar right here. Okay? Come on. That's right. Come on, Nico. You can come up here if you want to. No? Okay, that's all right. All right. That's okay. That's all right. Come on, let's get around the altar right here. We're going to pray with our students this morning. Come on, Nico. Mom will come with you. Come on, Lucy. Find your little spot here. Can you get in there? There you go, sweetheart. Okay. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Now, while the students are here on their knees, here's what I want. If you're a parent or a grandparent of one of these kids, I want you to come down here and stand with them, over them, behind them. If you're a parent and or a grandparent. You're a parent and or a grandparent. That's right. Come on. Find your student here. Just stand right behind them. This is one way, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, that you can show them that, hey, I'm on your side. I want you to succeed in your education career. That's right. Come on. Find your student right here, Brandon. There you go. All right. Now let's bow our heads together as we pray for these students and their parents and grandparents. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for this wonderful opportunity. It's been a good service. Great spirit. Thank you so much for the good singing, the choir, Matt, the Mascalier Trio, All of it's been wonderful. And Lord, I hope the preaching, it's not my normal routine. It's not the way I usually go. It wasn't 3 points and 3 sub-points. It's just trying to just get some practical teaching. Not only for the students, but for the parents and the grandparents. Because whether it's Christian school, public school, home school, correspondence school, whatever, however it is these days, we want moms and dads especially, but grandparents as well, to understand their great responsibility in raising these children. And then, Lord, as a church family, as the pastor, as their pastor, Lord, I want to encourage them to do the best they can and encourage them to do. And when they do good and they get awarded or something good happens, we want to bring them up on the platform, let everybody know. That's why I do that. I want them to know that we're proud of them when they succeed and when they achieve something. But God, most of all, heaven is happy when they do all for the glory of God. The Bible said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So Lord, help these young people. And we've got them from K-4 all the way to 11th grade. Lord, help these young people when they go to school to be an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. To give it their all, to do the best they can, and not settle for ordinary, and not settle for somewhere in the middle, but to be always trying to do better. Paul said, I press toward the mark. And Lord, for the parents, thank you for these good folks, Lord, all of these parents we know and we love. Help them, Father, to be a good example to their student, to their child, not only about education, but also about life. Education's good, but life is what they're going to live for the rest of their days. So help them, the grandparents as well, to be good examples and good testimonies to these kids of what life can be like when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. So Father, this morning I ask that not only the students, but the parents and grandparents commit themselves to doing what's right while they go to school. Lord, we hope to hear and we hope to watch. I hope, Lord, I could be here for many years and watch these young people grow up and then be called to preach or called to the mission field or get married or have a career. But in all of that, whatever it is, that they're serving the Lord Jesus, that they're saved, that they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior, and then they just want to do the best they can for Jesus. That's going to make their life a happy life. So, Father, I pray again, we ask you to place your loving hand upon all here at the altar and all the folks in the audience. Maybe their children or grandkids are not here right now. But, Lord, help them to make that same commitment to be that good example to their children or grandchildren, what it is to love Jesus. We love you. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.